Monster Man, Episode 96, Fire Drake to Fire Newt. Stop missing with the Monster Man. It was a bad plan, but I had to get the sound on it. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're beginning the F chapter of the Fiend Folio, the 1981 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we get started with the monsters, though, it's time to thank a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman and pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $5 or higher level, you will also get the chance to choose your own monster for a special in-depth episode. So thank you very much, Jake Harper, for supporting the show. All right, now I should say that, as I mentioned in previous episodes, I'm about to head off on vacation. I'm recording this the weekend before I go, and there's a lot to do. So some of these episodes may be a little bit shorter than normal. I apologize. You know, we're going to improvise through the vacation, and then things should return to normal when I get back at the beginning of September. I mean, I'm saying this, but you may not even notice a difference. We shall see. The first monster on the list is the Fire Drake. Now, the Fire Drake is a little mini dragon that, you know, spits flame and so forth. In previous episodes, I have expressed my antipathy toward little dragons. It kind of dilute the cool of their bigger cousins. But the Fire Drake is pretty good with that reservation. First off, it's got an absolutely wonderful illustration by Russ Nicholson, and it looks like something from a children's book. Like, it's got this kind of mean little expression that just gives the Fire Drake personality that isn't, like, evident in the description, because it's basically just a lizard, right? It's not intelligent like a dragon. It's pretty much just an animal. Secondly, it has a fun additional gimmick, which is that its blood burns on contact with air. In fact, its breath attack is really just it, like, aspirating a gout of its own flaming blood at you. Which, there are animals that have similar things, that they can actually squirt their own blood at predators to scare them off. So that's kind of a fun thing. And then it provides a little section on, you know, your player characters are probably going to want to bottle the Fire Drake blood, right? And, you know, make Molotov cocktails out of it, or stick it on their arrows, and so on and so forth. But in order to do that, they have to keep it in a sealed container underwater, sort of the, you know, whether that's just to keep it cool, or whether that's because kind of the elemental whatever neutralizes it. So you can definitely see, like, these two henchmen, you know, carrying a pole on their shoulders, and in the middle there's this, like, row of buckets all holding little clay jars of Fire Drake blood, and then you pour them out and smear them on your swords, and the sword turns into a flaming sword, but for a limited time, and there's a chance that it might break. I think this is actually pretty neat. I like creative player reuse of elements of a monster, and I think it's a fun detail that the Fire Drake has burning blood. I think that could also have gone into some kind of mechanic where, you know, if you shed its blood, you might get burned. But yeah, overall, I think this is actually a pretty strong implementation of a core idea that I'm usually not terribly excited about. It's a basic monster that's got a fun mechanical wrinkle that leads to creative play even after the monster is off stage, which I really approve of, and it's got a great little illustration. Speaking of illustrations, the next monster is the Fire Newt, and oh boy, have I got a lot to say about this thing. Now, superficially, there's not a lot to like about the Fire Newt. It is basically what would ultimately become the Dragonborn in modern Dungeons & Dragons. That is to say that it's a kind of lizard man with a smaller version of the dragon's breath weapon. Right? So they can breathe fire, but just like a little bit. I think just D6 damage or something like that. And other than that, they're basically just another, you know, cruel, barbaric tribe of goon monsters, not too different from orcs or bugbears or hobgoblins or lizard men or whatever it might be. But in practice, the Fire Newts are fantastic. And this is an example of how the presentation of a monster can turn it from being kind of run-of-the-mill into being an exceptional monster. I'm talking about the art in this section. We'll consider these illustrations. There are three illustrations, and they're all by Alan Hunter. We'll consider them separately. Oh, I should have said that the Fire Drake was created by Dave Waring and the Fire Newt by Albie Fiore. So there are three illustrations, as I said. There's one that shows a Fire Newt advancing with a sword and a shield. And this is a very, I mean, obviously it's a little bit more detailed, but this is essentially a drawing of one of the miniatures in the Fiend Factory miniatures line, FF45-1. The one means that this was after loss of the rights to the Fiendfolio monsters to TSR, this was replaced by another miniature in the line, a completely different miniature, FF45-2. And in the Fiend Factory line, these creatures are not called Fire Newts, they're called Salamen. So it's a Salaman warrior, which is kind of a funny gag, right? It's Salamander, Salaman. Fire Newt is a bit of an odd name for them, but I guess Salaman sounds, I don't know. I don't know why they changed it. But if my thinking about the chronology of the Fiend Factory miniatures and the Fiend Folio is correct, the miniature probably predates the illustration. It certainly predates the publication of the illustration, but we don't know how long this stuff took to make, right? Anyway, this illustration is fine. You know, it shows the guy. The same is true of the second illustration. It's great. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It shows you some Fire Newts. I don't know. I think I prefer a Salaman. Anyway, but it shows you some Fire Newts doing Fire Newty things, you know, getting ready to do some raiding. And then this third illustration is delightful. Alan Hunter just kicks this one right out of the park. Like, just unbelievable. If you have a copy of the Fiend Folio, you should go ahead and open it up to the Fire Newt. It's on page 37. If you don't have a copy of the Fiend Folio, you really should get one. It is interesting reading, and it's only, you know, $10 US, which is something like 7 or 8 pounds at the moment, thanks to the dreadful exchange rate on DriveThruRPG. But anyway, just to appreciate this wonderful art, you should just, or I think if you Google Alan Hunter Fire Newt, you'll probably find it. It is a beautiful full-page illustration done in white on black of the Fire Newts, you know, racing along, presumably in the process of ransacking some settlement, and everything's on fire behind them, and they're all lit by it, and they're riding a giant strider, which is a creature that they typically ride, and the giant strider has this marvelous Muppety expression on its face. The whole thing looks like some Dark Crystal type of business. I mean, the Dark Crystal comes out in 1982, so it's not specifically that, but it's definitely, they've got a Henson-like quality to them. Or maybe, when I was describing this earlier, I said, you know, it's not stylistically exactly the same, but it's certainly got a kind of Ralph Bakshi quality about it. And it is just delightful. And it turns the Fire Newts from being, you know, whatever, another tribe of dangerous lizardy humanoids, sure, fine, into just being great, because it gives them this sense of, like, gonzo weird fantasy, like they're gleeful bad guys. They're so happy as they run along burning your village and taking your stuff. It says they like to burn people alive. You can just see them going, oh boy, roasting time. And the strider is so unhappy. The strider's got this very distressed expression as this Fire Newt, you know, gallops on its back through this scene of destruction. I mean, mechanically, the Fire Newts are fine. Nothing wrong with them. Don't know about the name, but it's Alan Hunter's art that really elevates this piece. And in general, you know, I've said a few good things about Alan Hunter, but I think most people would agree that the star of the Fiend Folio is Russ Nicholson. But this one, Alan Hunter, just nails it. Just beautiful. And what's interesting about this, like, if you take these two pages, the Fire Drake illustration looks like it could be from a children's book as well, right? It's got, you know, it's a very cartoony in its own way. And then this looks like it could be, it's not, you know, neither of these, I guess what I'm saying is that neither of these are of the style that you would associate with Dungeons & Dragons illustrations of the 70s and 80s. If you think about kind of what, in your mind, Dungeons & Dragons quote-unquote looks like, neither of these fit into that category at all, and certainly not into what it would develop into, this very kind of middle-of-the-road heroic fantasy imagery, you know, without meaning to criticize those artists, your Larry's, Elmore, and your Clyde's Caldwell, and whatever. You know, they're all different, but they had a recognizable house style, you know, of realistic figures, pseudo-medieval accoutrements. You know, there wasn't so much of this kind of cartoony stuff. But I'd take this over that any day of the week. It's just fantastic. And it will always make me like Fire Newts a little better, even though it doesn't change anything about them. I mean, that's, you know, some people affect not to care about the art in gaming supplements because ultimately it doesn't really matter to what goes on at the table, right? Chances are, if you're putting Fire Newts in your game, your players have never seen them. You know, you're not going to get out the book and show them. People always talk about doing that, but it's very rare. At least in my experience. Maybe yours is different. I very seldom show my players, you know, visual reference at the table that's not a miniature. But man, I should if I'm going to use Fire Newts, because this just, like, this makes me like them so much, and how much I like them is going to affect the role that they play in my game. I mean, surprise, surprise, I'm not telling you anything revolutionary. Art in RPGs is important. This really is splendid stuff, and that's what makes the Fire Newts, you know, better than their kind of average monster status gives them a right to be. Anyway, that's about all the time that we have for today. In our next episode, we're going to be talking about a couple more F monsters. Surprisingly, most of them to do with fire in some way. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/monsterman, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the deities and demigods advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.